Brother Mark will be preaching tonight, so this will be the last time I get to preach to the whole group of people. I know I'll preach Wednesday night, but sometimes the young people are in the back that night. So tonight, this morning, we're going to look at a title of the message, Brokenhearted Over Sin. Brokenhearted Over Sin. And give you a little history lesson. Last week, we're going to talk about what we talked just for a second. We talked about praying mothers. It was Mother's Day, and we looked at that story. We began the message thinking about in the book of Genesis, in Genesis 4:26, where it says at the end of the verse, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." So after all the things that happened with Cain and Abel, and after the world starts turning and becoming worse and worse and more wicked, then you see men beginning to call upon the Lord. And ever since then, men have been crying out and calling out to God because they realize they have such a great need. And then we translated that last week into the story of Hannah. We looked at how Hannah was barren and how she was burdened. And because Hannah was barren and burdened, she became broken and she cried out to God. They talked about how Hannah's example of her being barren, not able to have kids, how many people that live in the day and time we live in, they're barren in their spiritual lives. They don't see much fruit. They don't see much growth. They don't develop their faith. They don't see God working in their hearts. They don't see God answering prayers. And their spiritual life, their Christian life, is pretty much barren. And as they are barren, most people don't even care. And, oh, I'm good. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't really need anything. Well, we saw that Hannah was burdened for her nation and burdened about her barrenness. She went to God and she was brokenhearted. It says she poured her soul out to God. Even says not only did she pray, she continued on praying to God. It wasn't just one simple prayer, now lay me down to sleep. No, she continued on praying and she continued on praying. And remember last week how we looked at how she was passionate. She was passionate in her prayers so much that the high priest of the day went and marked her mouth and says that she was drunk, and that's the reason why she was praying and acting the way she was. And we looked at that and said, you know what? Eli wasn't used to seeing people pray like that. Back then in the nation of Israel, it was a wicked day. It was a day where everyone did what was right in their own eyes, and they were praying was not like done like that inside the temple. Even Eli himself didn't pray. We gave that example that Eli sat on the post and Hannah was the one praying. And I asked you the question, are you the one that's sitting on the post watching others praying? Or are you the one that's pouring out your soul and praying passionately? We even talked about how so many lives have been changed. I even gave you the testimony how my life had been changed by a praying mother and how many of our lives have been changed because we had moms that would pray for us. And the encouragement was to all of her mothers to seek after God, pour out their hearts to God, and search after God for the need of our world that we live in today. But it wasn't just for mothers, it was also for everyone. That the Bible tells us that we should seek the Lord. And I wonder how many of us got it. You say, Pastor, what's the deal with the history lesson? You preached that last week. Are you going to preach it again this week so you didn't have to prepare for this week? No, it's not that at all. It's just, I wonder how many of us really got it. How many really mothers walked out of the room and said, you know what, the world I live in today is a really wicked place and I need to pray more. How many of us was really truly burdened the fact that we're barren and the idea that we don't see us being used to reach people for Jesus Christ? Our hearts being barren because of the fact that we have no love for God like we used to, and we're not in that blessed place that we learned about in the book of Galatians, that our zeal and our fire and our interest in serving and learning about God has kind of dissipated and no longer like it used to be. We've become to the point where we've backslidden and that we are barren in our spiritual lives and we could just really not care. Say, Pastor, I'm here. It's Sunday morning. Yes, but are we here to really seek after God? As I mentioned a few minutes ago, that my heart is burdened in the idea that I like to prepare our hearts for revival so that way we can be ready to hear and seek after God. And my encouragement for this week is that we spend this week seeking God's face and asking God to speak to our hearts during the revival service, to let ourselves be used of God to help bring revival to our hearts and minds. Say, Pastor, what is revival? Revival is, it's just a simple word of like a rebirth or a reviving of something that is dead. Now, if you're a Christian here this morning, you cannot lose your salvation. You do not have to have a rebirth in the idea of being saved again. But as most of us know, that sometimes your Christian life can become complacent. If we don't read our Bible, if we don't pray, we don't seek God's face. Many times Christians just go through the motions and the rituals and think they've done their part. But that's not what God desires. God desires for us to have a close walk with Him, a close relationship with Him. So how do we get ready for revival? How do we do that? Well, there's a couple things I'd like for us to look at. And to be honest with you, it's pretty simply put, if we want to have a heart for God, our heart's going to have to be clean. If we truly want to seek after God, if we want to be like that praying mother we saw last week, or the people that seek God and the effort for revival, the people that seek God and hear from God, our hearts are going to have to be clean. And so I like to tell a story this morning a little bit, and then look at Psalms chapter 51. But before we go there, I want you to think about this. Many people use this verse when it comes to revival. It says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says, "If my people, which are called by my name," and most of us have heard that verse before, but I want to clarify that. Those that are called by my name, that's talking, I know God, this is a reference to the nation of Israel when they'd gone off to wickedness, how they could return to God and how God would forgive their sins and heal their lands. But it can be applied to us today. And here's the part, it says, called by my name. That this is referring to those that are Christians. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell an unsaved person to come to church. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell an unsaved person to do anything but to repent of their sins and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is a thing that is given to you if you're here today and on your way to heaven. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And if we're talking about being brokenhearted over sin and how to look into our hearts and look into our lives and seeing if there's some type of sin that is hindering us from being right with God, first thing we must learn how to do is humble ourselves. Continue on in the verse, it says, humble themselves and pray. We looked at that last week. And seek my face. Praying is not just enough. We have to pray on purpose, with an interest of seeing and hearing from God. And turn from their wicked ways. And that's one of the key points, is to see ourselves as we seek God. God will reveal to us the things that is stopping the fellowship between us and God. And as we see those things, we abhor those things. We want to turn from our wickedness and prepare our hearts to hear from God. It says, and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So what God is saying in His word here, if you truly want to get right with God, it begins by humbling yourselves. And then we pray and seek His face and we turn from our wicked ways. A heart from God, heart for God must be a clean heart. If you really want to seek God's face, we must humble ourselves and turn from our sins. Now, you say, okay, Pastor, I do things that are wrong. I admit it. I confess it. You know what? Confessing it to me and confessing it to God is two different things. See, confession means that you agree. Did you agree with God that your sin is an offense to God? Proverbs takes it even a step farther. It says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. And if we're really looking to prosper in our Christian walk, if we're really looking to prosper in our need for revival, and believe me, our nation needs it, our church needs it, our family needs it, if we're really looking to prosper, covering up our sins is not going to get it done. Covering up our sins is going to push us farther and farther away from God and that fellowship He desires for us to have. And we're not going to become closer. Instead, we're going to, as we're going to see in a few minutes, it's going to tear our lives apart. We see here at the end of verses, Proverbs 28:13, it says, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. The Bible is saying there is that not only if you confess your sin and you forsake it, that is when you're going to find the mercy that you're seeking for. That is when you find the mercy that you need in order to have true heart revival. So here's the thing. We need to be brokenhearted over our sin. And we need to learn to confess our sins. And as we confess our sins, forsake those sins. Now you say, Pastor, there was a story involved in here. Yes, there is a story that's involved in. The story is about David. If you look at the top in Psalms 51, it says the little inscription at the beginning of the passage of Scripture says, to the chief, most of you would have it in your Bible, maybe not everyone, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him, and after he had gone in to Bathsheba. Now, here's the story, and it's not to try to run David through the mud. David did something wrong. David sinned. David, in the story, he committed horrible sins. He begins by not being in the place where he should have been and seeing a woman bathe, but instead of turning his head, he continues to look, and he begins to lust after her, and then he calls for her, and he commits adultery with this woman, Bathsheba, and Bathsheba gets pregnant. And as Bathsheba gets pregnant, he realizes that something has to be done, so he concocts this plan, and as he concocts this plan, it ends up with him murdering one of the people that are his loyal subjects, Uriah. And in the story, he remembers how this was God's man after God's own heart, the sweet, sweet psalmist of Israel. But instead of getting right with God, you know what he does? For months, he sits on the throne. As he's sitting on the throne for months, his life is miserable. He does not have the fellowship with God that he used to have, and he even pens these words in Psalms 32. He says, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into a drought of summer." He's saying, look, when I was silent, when I was not right with God, when I was not willing to admit my sin, when I was forsaking God, I grew old. My bones waxed old. And he says, my tears, they became as a drought in summer. God sends the prophet of God, Nathan at this time, comes and points to David. He gives him a little parable, and we don't have time to look at all the stories because we want to get to Psalm 51. He gives a little parable, and David becomes upset because he thinks it's another man's sin, and he says he's going to put that man to death, and Nathan looks at him and says, thou art the man. He says, you're the one that are sin. You're the one that has the problem. And this morning, I want us to look deep inside our hearts and not look at others, but instead ask God, as it says in Psalms 139, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. You know what? David had a choice. David being king of Israel, he had three choices. Number one, when Nathan looked at him and says, thou art the man, you had the sin with Bathsheba, you killed Uriah, David could have said, this man is a fool, he is trying to smear my good name. Or David simply could have picked up his scepter and pointed at his guards, and his guards would have taken out Nathan and put him to death. Or David, as he did, he admits to his sin. He said, okay, you got me, I did wrong. And he does have to face punishment for his sin, but these words that are penned here in Psalms 51 is the words of a broken-hearted man because of his sin. And this morning, when we look at this, I want you to consider this and think about this, that David here is in need of God's help. He's in need of cleansing. The fellowship has been broken. He has not heard from God for months, and now God speaks to him. David has a choice, getting right with God or living the way he is. David chooses to confess and forsake. Let's look here in Psalm chapter 51 at the words David penned after being confronted with this sin, seeing the sin. He abhors the sin. He hates the sin, and he cries out in verse number 1 and says, have mercy upon me, O God. Now, David isn't looking for God to judge him justly, because if David was going to be judged justly according to the Jewish law back then, David would have been killed for the sin of adultery, much less the murder of Uriah. He's not seeking justice. And believe me, we really truly don't want justice from a holy God. We need to seek God's mercy. Amen. We need to look for God's grace in our lives. And it says here, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. He's not saying according to my merit, not saying based off the fact I killed Goliath, based off the fact I wrote all those psalms, based off the fact I ran away from Saul. It's not based off all those great battles I've won for you, Lord. He says, I want you to help me based off of that. And he says, no. He said, Lord, I don't want you to judge me justly. He says, I see my sin. I know how horrible my sin is. I hate my sin. And Lord, based off of your loving kindness, it continues on, unto the multitude. It's just not some single tender mercy. You cannot use up the mercy of God and the grace of God. God extends his mercy and grace to us. It says, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. He's saying, I want you to get rid of them, Lord. I want to be clean. He continues on in verse number 2. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. He doesn't want to be portionally clean. He wants to be washed thoroughly or thoroughly. He says, and cleanse me from my sins, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. And he says, this sin is always in front of me. I want to get rid of it. It's been there too long. No one else knows about it. It's hidden in my heart. He says, I want to get rid of this. And the truth is, we can have victory in Jesus. We don't have to live off the past sins that we've done before. We can have forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Now, we might have to deal with the consequences of sin. David had to lose a child because of this. David, because of this, the sword had never left his house. And there was many great judgments because of the sin, but he could be back in fellowship with God as he knew before. Verse number 4, against thee only have I sinned. You might say, Pastor, he's forgetting about Bathsheba. He's forgetting about Bathsheba's family. David recognizes and sees that his sin, first and foremost, was to God. Do you realize when you sin, you're sinning against an almighty, holy God? What you do is an offense to him. Sometimes people say, oh, my sin doesn't bother anybody. There's no big deal what's going on. But we see here that David says that he not only sinned against Bathsheba and sinned against Bathsheba's family, Uriah's family. He says, first and foremost, I sinned against God. And if we're going to get brokenhearted of our sins, we must look to God and see who God is and see ourselves and our sin and say, look, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent of this sin because I know I've offended you. And I don't want to offend you. Keep on going. It says, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and made clear when thou judgest. What he's saying there, Lord, I know you're the one that judges my sin. He says, I know I've sinned against you. He's confessing it. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. He's saying, Lord, I have a sin nature. We're all capable of sin. He says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. He's saying, putting on a show and showing other people what I look like and looking good and going through all the performances of being a king and leading in worship and leading in sacrifice, those things aren't good enough. The outward is not what you're looking for. He says, you want truth in the inward parts. We can look good on the outside, but what God desires from us is truth on the inside, whether or not we're truly right with him. Continue on, it says, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. David saying, Lord, I want you to search me. I want you to show me what it is that I need to do. Verse 7, he cries out, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow. He's counting on God to help cleanse him. Make me to hear joy and gladness. David, the one who always heard joy and gladness before, had lost the joy. He's saying he wants to hear it again. That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. This is David saying over those years, or those months at least, that my heart has been broken, my bones have been broken because of the fact that of this sin, and I would need to get it right. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, I pray you help us this morning. Lord, I pray you limit the distractions. Help us to open up our hearts and our ears and our minds, Lord, to your word. Lord, as we see this great psalm, help us to understand our need to be right with you. Lord, help us to look at this as a guideway back to you. Help us to see this, that we need to humble ourselves and, Lord, recognize our sins and make it personal, Lord, in the fact that we need your help. Lord, help us to seek after mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. I know it's a little bit longer introduction, but don't get nervous. The message isn't going to be as long as the introduction is. Even one of the people in the sound booth tried to take my last page, so I had to end a little shorter. Can you believe that? So one of them says that he doesn't want it to go for 2 hours. Well, it won't go for 2 hours. We'll promise you that. Three things I want you to think about. Three things I want you to think about. Number one, we must agree with God about our sin. Number two, we must agree with God about cleansing of our sin. And number three, we must agree with God about his desires for our life. We need to agree with him about our sin and how to cleanse our sin, but also what his desire for our lives was. Now, there's a couple things I think is really important to understand. David here has sinned. We have all sinned. We've all done wrong. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I want to go get something straight on the onset here. David here is a believer. By faith, he has put his faith and trust in God's plan. Now, this passage and this message is written toward those that are believers. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the first thing that an unsaved person can do is repent of their sins and ask Christ to save them based off his finished work, what he did on the cross, how he rose again, how he's buried and rose again. And that's what it's referring to in your need of salvation. We're all sinners. We've all needed Christ to save us. And we all had to come to a point in time in our life where we say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm guilty of my sin. I know my sin has a penalty. I'm crying out to you, asking you to save me from my sins. I believe in what you did on the cross, how you died, how you were buried, how you rose again to pay my penalty of sin. That's what makes a person a Christian, when they do that with their heart. This morning's message is aimed toward those that are Christians that have fallen off into sin. And because the fact that we need revival, and because of the fact that we need to be praying and seeking God's face, we cannot do that when we have sin in our heart. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, it talks about how God's not going to hear us. If we have sin in our lives and sin in our heart that has been crept away, maybe pushed in a corner for a long time, we really can't seek after God and pray to God like he desires. So that's why David writes the Psalms. He knows he's done wrong. He knows he's sinned. He realizes the sin. The sin has been eating him up for a while. And if you're a Christian and you have sin in your life, believe me, it eats at you. It eats at you. It eats at you. God's trying to get you right. God's trying to bring you back in fellowship. He's trying to woo you and say, hey, look, come on back. I'm missing you. I want you to come back. All you have to do is confess and forsake, and we can be back in fellowship once again. But sometimes a Christian keeps on pushing it farther and farther off. You know what that does? It hinders the work of God. It kind of silences the Holy Spirit of God. And sooner or later, God allows things to come into your life. Like God let Nathan come into David's life and in front of the whole place says, thou art the man. Let's look here. First, number one, we must agree with God about our sins. Look at verses 1 through 4. He says, have mercy. Now look what it says. He says, upon me. David's not blaming it on anybody else. He's not blaming it on the fact of Uriah. He's not blaming it on what Bathsheba had done, that she was out bathing herself, all those different things. He says, look, I want you to have mercy on me. I know I'm a sinner. He says, according, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thine tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. I want you to see there, this is a personal thing that we must have a transition with God. It is a transaction with God. It is about him and it's about us. It's about our relationships. We recognize that we need God's mercy. It's not just about, hey, yes, you know what, my son needs it. My daughter needs it. My friends need it. My pastor needs it. My Sunday school teachers. It's a personal thing here, is that you recognize that this is my sin I need to deal with and I need to ask God for the mercy. He wasn't looking at anybody else. He wasn't blaming. He was saying it all falls down on me. I need your help, God. This morning, let's not look around at anybody else today. Instead, let's look inside our own hearts and say, is there something in my heart that I need to get right? Stop worrying about him and hers and theirs. Instead, it's my transgression. It says in verse number 2, wash me thoroughly. David said that even though I committed this sin, even though I had done so much right and so much good in the past, this sin made me dirty. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. He says, for I, listen to the personal, For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. And then he goes and he says, against thee and thee only. We must recognize that our sin is against God. Do you see the sin in your life as being an offense to God? Or you think it doesn't hurt anybody? It doesn't bother anybody else? It doesn't affect everybody else? Sin has effects. And God says, you have offended me. We must also recognize that we have a capacity of our sin. When it says in verse number 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. That teaches us that if David, this great sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart, if he can commit this heinous crime and this heinous sin, that we are all capable of it, and we need God's mercy and we need God's help. If we truly want to have a heart that's right with God, if we truly want to be broken over our sin and brokenhearted over our sin, we must stop saying, I could never do that, and start saying, God, I need your mercy, so I will never, ever do that. I must not allow sin to stay in my heart. I must not allow bitterness to build up. I must not let little things enter in, so the point comes that I will not do the greater transgression. Second thing we see in this passage of Scripture, not only do we must learn to agree with God about sin, because that's what confession is. We look at our sin and say, what I have done is wrong. I agree with you, God. According to your word, according to your nature, my sin is wrong, and I need your help. That's what confession is. Second thing is we must agree with God about cleansing. We must agree with God about cleansing. You know what? Most people don't have a problem admitting that they've done something wrong. You ever heard somebody say, I know I'm doing this, but I hear it all the time. Pastor, I know what I'm supposed to do, but you know what you're saying is, I know that I'm sinning, but I'm not admitting that I need cleansing. I know that I'm doing wrong, but you don't know my circumstances. You don't know my situation. What they're saying is they agree with God about their sin, but they're not agreeing with God about their cleansing. They might say, yes, I know I might be offending God, but they haven't come to the part where they say, I need God's help. And that's what verses 6 and 7, David cries out. He sees that he has sinned. He has seen that he's done wrong. He says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. What he's saying here is, I need to be clean. And Christian, this is a desire that we should have in our hearts and life. We need to be clean, cleansed of God. And it says in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David's saying, Lord, I need help. I need to be cleansed. Verses 16 and 17, it says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Here's the thought. Here's what getting in the idea of cleansing. Many people think if they look okay on the outside, that they don't need the cleansing on the inside. In these verses of 16 and 17, it says in verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. You know, David says, if it was just the paying of the lamb or killing of the bullock or killing and having the sacrifice, some type of outward show, I would have gave that to you in a second. If that could have fixed it, and if that could have made everything right, and we could have gone back into fellowship, if I could have done something else besides admitting my sins and getting things right with you, I would have paid that in a second. If it would have been paying $1,000, I would have paid that to get right with you. He says, but I didn't want to admit my sins. I did not want to have to go before you and say, Lord, I know I've offended you. I know that I've done wrong. I know that I'm the one that needs your mercy. And here's what David's saying. He says, I would have done anything on the outward. He says, but that's not what you're looking for. And sometimes people say, well, maybe if I give a little bit more, maybe if I serve somewhere else, maybe if I start teaching a class or do a bus route or do something for God, then I can keep on having my little sin over here. But that's not what God wants. God says he wants truth in the inward parts. He wants us to be clean from the inside out. He says it's not about a sacrifice that you can offer. It's not about a sacrifice that you can give. But in verse 17, it tells you what God will not despise. This morning, if you're here and you have sin in your heart, you say, how do I get it right with God? It says it right here. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. The only thing that is going to make you right with God and allow revival to come into your heart is by having a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. What does that mean? It doesn't mean we see our sin and we say, God, I don't want it anymore. I'm tired of what it does to me. I'm tired of what I have become because of my sin. And Lord, I lay it all out to you. And as Hannah did last week, I pour my heart and my soul out to you and say, Lord, I want to be right with you. Lord, whatever it takes, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And that's what David's saying here. He says, that's the only thing that could get me back in fellowship with you. And the fellowship of God is more important than anything else in our lives. And if we will learn that a broken heart, a contrite heart, is what God's not going to despise, how come we don't humble ourselves then? Pride lifts us up in front of people. Humbleness is what God uses to lift us up. Pride versus brokenness is two completely different things. And what is holding back revival in many people's hearts and lives is the pride of their sin, and the fact that they don't think they should have to get things right. They think they do enough for God. Why can't they have this? Third thing I want you to see is not only do we need to agree with God about our sin and agree with God about our cleansing, third thing is we must agree with God about His desires for our life. His desires for our life. You look in His story and you read what David had lost because of his sin. Look what it says in verse number 8. He desires us to have joy and gladness. In verse 8 it says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. God desires us to have joy. God desires that we have gladness. David had lost that. Look what it says in verse number 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. What the Bible is saying here is that God desires for us to have joy. God desires for us to have gladness. God, your Christian life should not be one of being humdrum and upset and mad. You know, your Christian life should be one of joy and gladness and excitement. And that's what God desires. And David had lost that. We must also agree that God desires for our lives to have a clean heart and be spirit-filled. Look what it says in verses 10 through 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, this is written in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit of God was not someone who would continually abide with someone. Here as a Christian and under the different dispensation, we have the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us. And we cannot lose the Holy Spirit of God. That is a gift that we have. And we're praise the Lord for that. But the Holy Spirit of God would come upon many times people in the Old Testament, and God would use those people. I believe He came upon David when he killed Goliath. I believe He came upon David many times when he did many great works and acts. And David remembered those days. David remembers those times. And he says, look, don't take your spirit away from me. He says, renew a right spirit within me. I desire the Holy Spirit of God in my life once again. And that's what sin does. It does not take the Holy Spirit from us. What it does, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And it takes us from that place of blessedness. It takes us from that place where we have a zeal and a fire for serving God. When we have a desire to learn more about Him. When we have a desire to want to just know Him better. A desire to want to confess our sins because we don't want to be away from God. We don't want to have broken fellowship. We want and seek for God's revival in our hearts. And that's what David is saying. He says, I lost my clean heart. I lost the Holy Spirit of God's power. And I want that back now. And what God desires for us is to walk in the Spirit. God desires us to be filled with the Spirit of God. This is what God's longing for us in our lives. Another thing, He also desires for us to teach the ways of God. Look what it says in verse 13. He says, Lord, when you give me back your spirit, when I am filled once again with your spirit, he says in verse 13, then will I teach transgressors the ways, and the sinners shall be converted unto thee. And you say, Pastor, that means that we need to tell others about Jesus Christ. That's exactly right. We need to teach others about the ways of God. How many of us are teaching others about the way of God? I mean, we have the commandment. We have the commission. We have the requirement that's given to us. Why is it that we're not? Well, we go back. What caused David not to do it? The sin in David's life is what caused David from not going out and telling others. Maybe there's something in our hearts that's stopping us from being free with the Word of God and teaching others our ways. That's what we're looking for. What is that sin that is in that corner that's been there for so long? We just say, oh, don't bother that. Don't touch that, Pastor. Don't touch that, Holy Spirit of God. That's what David was saying about a sin. He wanted to be free. He wanted the power of God. He wanted God to freely talk in his life and move in his life and have demonstrate so he could teach others. But last but not least, God desires us to praise him. Look what it says in verses 14 and 15. He says, once you deliver, he says, deliver me from blood guiltiness. He says, once you cleanse me, Lord, once I get this right, O God, thou, O God, of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. I like that. He's saying, Lord, once I'm right with you again, I'm going to sing aloud that you're righteous. He says, I know I had to face the penalty. I know I'm going to lose my son. I know I'm going to face this consequence after this consequence after this consequence in my life because of my sin. But he says, you will always be right. Let us never forget, God is always just and God is always right. You say, Pastor, if I do what you say, if I try to get completely right with God, if I lay myself on the altar and say, Lord, whatever it is you want, Lord, whatever it is you desire, I'll go and do what you wanted me to do. I'll ask for forgiveness where I need to ask for forgiveness. I'll forgive where I have not been able to forgive before. I'll get rid of that bitterness. I'll deal with that anger. I'll deal with those pictures I look at. I'll stop listening to that music. If I do that, he says, I'm scared what's going to happen to me. David says, when I get things right, I'm going to be able to praise you. That's when I'm going to be able to rejoice. That's when I'm with aloud, I'm going to be able to tell the whole world that God is righteous. Yes, I did wrong. Yes, I'm being punished, but God is righteous and God is willing to help clean me and I can enter fellowship once again. Look what it says in verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. He's saying, Lord, make it to where I praise you again. I missed the days and the moments when I sat out in the fields, and some people think David wrote Psalms 23 as a young shepherd boy. Some think it was after he had been a king for many years. Don't really know, but I know David wrote many Psalms before this one, and I know he's missing the times when he would praise God. Do you praise God like you used to? It all boils down to this. Some of us were at one spot in time in our life, we used to serve God, have a vigor, would do with great zeal, have a desire to want to know him better, and then something happened, something caused us to leave God, something caused us to stop serving him, God, something caused us to stop praying, something caused us to stop witnessing, something caused us to stop reading our Bibles, and we left that fellowship. If you are farther away from God today than at some other point in your life, God isn't the one that moved. We are. And what causes us to move? It's sin. There's something in our hearts, there's something in our lives that's torn the fellowship apart, and we need to get back to that place where we served him with vigor, where we served him with zeal, where we served him with a great desire to want to know him and just praise him. This morning, number one, do you have sin in your life? Number two, are you brokenhearted over it? See, that is what will enter you back into that right relationship, is when we recognize our sins and we agree with God, this is sin, and God, I need your help with cleansing it. That's what it says here in these verses. He's asking God to clean him. He's asking God to purify him. He's asking God to take away his iniquity. He's asking God to blot out the transgressions. He's asking God to turn away from it. We need God's help. You can't fool with that sin and think you're going to get away with it. You need to get that right with God. And that way, God then can begin to communicate with you. If we want a heart for God, we must have a clean heart. If we want revival, if we want to seek God's face, we must turn away from our wicked ways. This morning, let's agree with God. Let's agree with God about our sins. Let's agree with God about our cleansing. Let's agree with God, his desire for us, to give us a life of joy and gladness, spirit-filled, teaching others our way, and praising God. That's the life you can have if you have the right fellowship with God. Now, as we consider this, you say, Pastor, how do I do this? So there's two verses that I think is wonderful in the Bible. It says about this. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says, if you'll confess, and as we learn in Proverbs 28:13, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. If we confess and forsake our sins, it says, he is faithful. You know what that means? He's going to do it. He's going to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you ask him one time, he's going to do it. Faithful means that he's going to do it 100 times. Faithful means he's going to do it 1,000 times. Put it this way. You sit there and you say that if a man was faithful to his wife 99 days out of 100 days, would he be considered faithful? No. You wives would be like, if he was unfaithful to me even once, that wouldn't make him faithful. He's an unfaithful man. And that's what God is saying here every single time. Pastor, I've done it before. Sin is going to destroy your life if you don't get it right. Do it again. Allow God to work in your heart. Ask for the joy to come back, the gladness to come out. Ask him to restore the joy of your salvation. This morning, are you brokenhearted over your sin? Ask the Lord to search you, to turn on that light and look around and see. Is it going to be easy? No. One of the hardest things to do is to admit that we've done wrong. Admit that we have to do something in order to be right with God again. Pastor, I've done all these things. David did tons of things. But he realized he needed God's help with cleansing. This morning, don't let sin ruin your life. Instead, confess it, forsake it, and ask God to restore the joy of your salvation. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads.